B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show on a Tuesday, and the 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop, create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. We have a lot of problems as a Eagle fan base here, but the Cowboys really have some problems. They lost their quarterback for the rest of the season, and he was playing on a franchise tag, which means he bet on himself. And now you don't know what his value will be coming off that kind of an injury to the Dallas Cowboys or wherever else he would like to go. So to clear up some sports law issues, we go to the ultimate sports lawyer. Of course, he is the great Andrew Brand, and you can read him all over the place. You see him on Twitter. He runs the sports law at Villanova Law School. Andrew, how you doing today?
Friend Mikey Miss, it just seems like this whole season is set up for the Eagles to win the division no matter how bad they play.
I wouldn't go that far, to be honest with you, but I hear you. You know, it's like a 5-10 and 1 record could possibly win this division.
Yeah, I mean, I think the issue at hand is, you know, Dak's an elite player, and let me just get to what you talked about. I was very vocal throughout the summer that I did not think the Mahomes deal was a good deal, and I know everyone jumps on the shiny object of $500 million, but it's $63 million over the first 3 years, and it's really lower than most deals over the next few years. Then it jumps up big after 5 or 6 years, but who knows what the world's going to look like then. And Dak, I thought, did the right thing in turning down a deal, which I'm just assuming that Jerry Jones looked at and said, hey, we're going to do something like Mahomes, or we'll do something like one of these longer deals, which they love doing for Tyron Smith and Zach Martin and other of their players. And I said Dak was doing the right thing turning it down, because the downside, which we're at now, what is the downside? Well, the downside is he gets to February really in the exact same spot he was last February. Now, again, we're assuming this is not a career ending injury. If it is, I'm wrong, he's wrong, everyone's wrong. But how many of those really happen in the NFL? But in February, there'll be three choices. He takes a long-term deal that he's happy to sign, and his agents. He goes on another franchise tag for $38 million, getting 69 over 2, compared to Mahomes, 63 over 3. Or they set him free into a market that paid Peyton Manning top of market after 3 neck surgeries. I mean, no free agent quarterbacks ever get to market they're any good. Or Kirk Cousins is one. But, you know, this is what his options are, which to me are pretty good as long as doctors say he'll be playing football in a year.
Yeah, so most people look at this franchise tag and go, it's like playing Russian roulette. Because you're betting on yourself, you don't have a guarantee beyond the year. If you get hurt, then what is your value? So do you think it's a good thing or it's not a good thing that for the players to collectively bargain?
It's not, and I argue that every collective bargaining agreement, and I've been on both sides, so I know the value of the tag from the management side. It's a wonderful value. Can you imagine NBA owners, if they had a tag, we'd never see LeBron leave Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a huge advantage, and it's not just for the 10 guys a year that get franchised, because it sets the top of the market, and then everything trickles down below it. Imagine Dak Prescott or Russell Wilson, who was about to be franchised, without a tag. You know, it's hard to even figure out what the contract would be at that point, but it'd be a hell of a lot more than whatever the Cowboys were offering, because they had the tag in their back pocket. No way in God's green earth was Dak Prescott ever going to play for another team this year, even without a contract. So that's just incredible value for the team.
Talking to Andrew Brand, of course, Andrew, former general manager in the NFL. Andrew, when we look at this, like, because I wonder, like, what was the give back for, like, getting this franchise tag? The owners obviously want the franchise tag. The players look at it and go, we don't like this, but we have to go along with it because we're going to get what?
Get me started now, Mike. Get in trouble because I've been accused of, you know, wanting that D. Smith job, which, again, I was approached about a couple years ago, and I decided not to pursue for a lot of reasons. But I just think there's been some deficiencies in their collective bargaining, and some of that, as I just said, is like, listen, let's focus on whatever they did focus on, which I have a hard time picking out one thing, instead of the tag, because it only affects 10 guys a year. And I say again, affects a lot more than 10 guys a year, and no other league, hockey, baseball, basketball, none of them have anything like a franchise tag.
Yeah. Let me take you away from this issue a little bit, and an issue that I was discussing with you in a text, right, regarding, there's all these reschedulings, and so we're going week by week on this whole thing. Yeah. And so the ultimate thing is, like, we don't have a full season, or there are forfeits from people not following protocol. And I asked you a question about how would the payment per player come out if you, like, a team is in violation of the protocol. It's a forfeit. Do they forfeit their game check?
You know, this is one of those things where it's not clear in that mini CBA they did to get the season going. It basically says you don't play, you don't get paid. But you and I know there will be lawyers. Mm-hmm. Say it was the Titans, who have been accused of all this kind of messing around, so you can see withholding their pay. But what about all their pay? 53 guys or 70 guys when only 10 broke the protocol? That's a question to ask. And if it was going to forfeit the Bills, say, that'd be a real problem, I think. The Bills should get paid for that game.
Yeah.
But then you get into what about incentives, and they could have, you know, the guy had 1,000 rushing yard incentives, and he finishes with 900, and he didn't play the game. But I think, you know, it's naive of us to think, Mike, this is the last of it, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to have extra games, or teams are not going to play 16 games. Our teams are going to play with 16 practice squad guys up and regular players down. I mean, I just saw Goodell saying, well, teams have to be flexible. I'm like, you think? Yes. This is like the ultimate flexible season.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question as a former general manager, as it relates to the Eagles, because we've been talking about the positions that aren't a priority. And the defense coordinator came out today and said, No, the linebackers are a priority, which is a total falsehood when it comes to the Eagles. But as a general manager, priority spending, how much is discussed in the front office about that? And where do you value certain positions?
Yeah, you always talk about it. Now, it's different team to team because, you know, some people have $100 million quarterbacks, some people have $20 million quarterbacks, some people have quarterbacks in their rookie deals, and there you can spend more on other positions. But, you know, I think it's pretty universal around the league. You know quarterback, you know left tackle, you know shutdown corner, you know premier pass rusher. They get paid, and they're premium positions. Now, you look at the Eagles, and they have spent a ton of money and resources at the D-line and some at the D-backs. So somewhere's got to suffer. And despite whatever the coach says, obviously management has to look at it and say, okay, we're going to go light here cap-wise. We can get by. Even a limited football fan can say, yeah, linebackers are less important than D-line and corners. I mean, I think we can agree on that.
Yeah.
The Packers, you know, we had similar things, but, you know, we drafted A.J. Hawk, an inside linebacker, number 5 overall 1 year, so obviously he got paid well, a lot of resources there. But, you know, one position, for instance, we did not prioritize pay-wise, was offensive guard, and we let some guys like a Marco Rivera, if you remember that name, just let him go. Dallas paid him big. So, you know, some positions do get that.
So when we're talking about the Eagles, because it seems to me the trend is that that colleges are spawning very mobile linebackers so they can put him in coverage. The Eagles don't seem to have that type of feeling. Are they doing it wrong?
You know, I think what goes unsaid here is it is management. Coaches have an impact, especially coaches with some gravitas. And obviously Doug has gravitas on the offensive side, and how he's going to have him big time in those meetings where, you know, picking Rieger over whoever else, etc. And I think that goes for Schwartz because, you know, Schwartz is not some incoming young defensive coordinator that a general manager just says, here's your players. I think he's involved in that. And he wants pick the name type of linebackers, whether less mobile, more, I don't know, whatever the linebackers we have are the ones he sent. And I did see that quote, and he mentioned we paid Bradham. Well, Bradham got one of those folly deals in the NFL where it looked like $40 million and it was really 1 year, $8 million.
Yeah. We're scratching our head over here. We don't know who's in charge of this team or where they're going or whatever. The last thing I want to say is that you have a great Twitter game. And you can follow Andrew at Andrew Brandt on Twitter. And so the two that stood out to me recently was the one where you had a great quip on the Pence-Harris debate where you go, will Pence walk out if Kamala kneels? Which was a classic. And then, like it was yesterday, I saw you had a video of an orchestra. Because you use the term "there will be lawyers" a lot,
yeah.
Right? And so in this orchestra, there's a guy in the back hitting the bass drum, and he's slamming the thing with this big tongue, and it slips out of his hand after he hits the drum. It flies in the air and bangs the woman that was next to him playing the clarinet, and she storms off.
I know.
And then the orchestra kept playing like nothing happened, and the guy was frantic. So, you see the lawsuit in that? There will be lawyers?
Looked like an assault to me. I'll say this, for someone like me, I'm not about hot takes. I'm not about breaking news. I'm never want to be or will be a scoop guy. So I'm an insight guy, and I'm a perspective guy. And so Twitter has been a great resource for me to put out little nuggets that maybe other people don't see, and then show a little humor, too. I will say on the Pence thing, if anyone's looking to cull their herd on Twitter followers, those people want to get more, right? If you ever want to get less, be political.
Yeah. Oh, don't I know that?
Every time, you know what side I'm on, but every time I lose a couple hundred
followers. Oh, yeah. Well, people send letters here and emails, and it's just one of those things.
Yeah, it's the way it is.
All right. Andrew, listen, a pleasure. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks, bud.
Take Andrew care. Brandt, Comcast Business Hotline.